I'm Manos Caprichos, and I'm here to tell you all about Eve. Eve is a new architecture that allows replicated systems to scale to multi-core servers. For the past 40 years, the systems community has invested a lot of effort in trying to build dependable services. Applications like databases, key-value stores, or coordination and lock-in services are typical examples of applications where dependability is a first-class citizen. In the meantime, the computing world went through a paradigm shift. We are now well within the multi-core age, where multi-threaded execution and the performance that comes with it is the norm. As system designers, we love them both. We want our systems to be both robust to failures and to be able to perform well. The motivation for this work is that currently there exists no efficient way they can combine both worlds. In other words, we don't know how to currently build dependable multi-threaded services. As I will show you in the next slides, existing techniques force this choice between making a service dependable or making it fast. In this talk, I will try to answer this very question. How can we build dependable multi-threaded services? Now, if I take multi-threaded out of the picture, we already know how to answer this question. The answer is state machine replication. State machine replication is this old recipe for building dependable services. The basic recipe has three very simple steps. Take a service, implement it as a deterministic state machine, replicate it, and provide all replicas with the same input. Now, since replicas are deterministic, this guarantees that they will all go through the same state transitions and produce the same output. In practice, modern replication protocols has actually weakened this same input requirement. For example, to achieve higher performance, they allow read-only requests to only be executed at some of the replicas. This recipe has produced a standard way of implementing replicated systems. The general idea is to present all replicas with the same sequence of requests. What actually happens is that client requests will arrive at what we call an agreement module that will internally use a distributed protocol to agree and decide on the order in which requests should be executed, and then present this request to the execution replicas in the same order so that all can go through the same state transitions and produce the same output. Now, while this works for single-threaded execution, if I try to put multi-threaded back into the picture, this no longer works. For example, if I try to execute requests in parallel, then different thread interleavings at different replicas could cause them to arrive at different states and produce different responses. In fact, their final state could be the result of any possible interleaving of the instructions of those requests. Now, here one might hope to be able to leverage the recent work on deterministic multithreading. Unfortunately, as we detail in the paper, these deterministic multithreading techniques do not support these optimizations to the basic SMR recipe that I was talking about before. So this brings us back to the tension I was talking about at the beginning of the talk. On the one hand, we have the dependability of state machine replication that requires correct replicas to arrive at the same states and produce the same responses. On the other hand, we have the performance of multi-threading that can cause even correct replicas to arrive at different states and produce different responses. In this talk, I will show you that this is not a fundamental tension. We can actually achieve both dependability and performance. To do that, we introduce Eve. Eve is a new architecture that allows state machine replication to accommodate multi-threaded execution. Since I promised to tell you all about Eve, I will first explain what the insight behind this architecture is. Then I will describe the basic mechanisms that allow us to implement this architecture efficiently in practice. I will then take a step back and consider what it is that this new architecture really accomplishes. Finally, I will present you the performance benefit of using this architecture. So, to understand the insight of Eve, let's take a closer look at state machine replication. What it really requires is that the replicas arrive at the same state and produce the same responses. The way this is achieved in current systems is by agreeing on the order of requests and then forcing all replicas to execute those requests in that order. In other words, while the original requirement is that we have agreement on the output of the execution, the current architecture enforces that we have agreement on the input, namely the order of requests. So the real question is, can we achieve the original requirement without having to enforce something as strong as sequential execution? Eve shows that we can, but in order to do that, we'll have to drastically change the current architecture. In fact, we'll have to flip it over so that replicas first execute requests in parallel and without agreeing on the order of requests, and then they will verify whether it actually reached the same state and produced the same responses. The intuition here is that it doesn't make any sense to agree on the order of requests, since multi-threaded execution will undo that order anyway. Instead, what we should be doing is try to agree on the outcome of the execution, naming the state and responses reached by the replicas. So let's see how this approach might work. The idea is that we'll have different replicas execute a set of requests in parallel. After executing a set of requests, the replicas will produce what we call a token, which is a small, concise representation of their whole state. They will send this token to the verification stage that now has this very simple choice to make. Do these tokens match or not? If the tokens match, it means that the replicas have indeed come at the same state and produce the same responses. Let's say that we are in the good case where the tokens indeed match. The verification will then send back a positive reply, indicating that convergence has been achieved, so the replicas will be happy to commit that state and send the responses back to the clients. Note here that we don't actually require all replicas to match. It's enough that sufficiently many of them agree on the state and responses. Of course, what sufficiently many means will depend on the configuration at hand. I will have to refer you to the paper for the rest of the details. Of course, we could also be in the case where replicas execute a set of requests in parallel, but do not come at the same state. You can imagine that sending a set of non-matching tokens to the verification will now cause it to send back a negative reply, indicating that divergence has occurred. When that happens, we need to have a way of repairing this divergence. What we'll do is we'll ask replicas to roll back their state to what it was before executing these requests, and then re-execute the request sequentially to make sure that they all get at the same state and produce the same responses, similar to traditional state machine replication systems. So now that we've seen the insight behind this new architecture, let's see what are the basic mechanisms that we need to implement to make such an architecture efficient in practice. At a high level, Eve's logic is very simple. If replicas have converged on some state and responses, then commit that state and send the responses back to the clients. Otherwise, there's been a divergence, and we'll need to take some steps to repair it. To make this simple logic efficient in practice, we need to do three things. First, we need to make sure that most of the time we are in this if part, namely that most of the time replicas converge without us having to take additional action. Second, since divergence is a possibility, we need to have an efficient way of detecting whether replicas have diverged. Note that this actually involves comparing the whole application state of the replicas, so we need to have an efficient way of doing this. And finally, if a divergence actually occurs, we need to have an efficient way of repairing this divergence. If you achieve these three goals, then we can hope to make this architecture work well in practice. Coming to the first goal, we need to make sure that replicas do not diverge frequently. At a high level, we need to present the replicas with the same set of requests and then make sure that while executing these requests, they do not diverge. The first thing we'll do is make sure that the requests go to a designated replica called the primary that will group the requests together in a batch and then will send these batches of requests to all other execution replicas. Note here that requests within a batch are ordered, but this order is not the order of executing these requests. It will simply be used as a tiebreaker in one of the techniques I will talk about in a bit. So now that we have a batch of requests, we need to make sure that the replicas execute these requests in a multi-threaded way, but without diverging. The idea here is that we try to identify requests that, even if executed in parallel, will not cause the replica state to diverge. For example, two requests that modify different parts of the state, or two requests that read from the same part of the state, can be executed in parallel because the order of execution doesn't really affect the final state and responses. To that end, we'll introduce the mixer. The mixer is an application-specific piece of code that will group together such commutative requests And upon identifying such a group, it will ask the execution replica to execute the request within that group in parallel. When all requests in a batch are executed, the replicas will then produce this token that will be used to verify whether they've actually reached the same state and produced the same responses. The important thing to remember about the mixer is that it's not required to always correctly identify commutative requests. Think of it more of as a hint rather than an oracle. Even if the mixer occasionally allows conflicting requests to be executed in parallel, this could cause a divergence, yes. But if second line of defense, the verification will kick in, it will detect the divergence and will repair it by asking replicas to roll back the state and re-execute sequentially. To make things more concrete, let me give you an example from the mixer that we implemented for the TPCW benchmark. Here I list three frequent transactions of that benchmark, and for each transaction, I list the database tables that the transaction either reads from or writes to. The mixer will use this information to determine whether the two transactions have a read-write or write-write conflict. For example, the first two transactions do not have a read-write or write-write conflict. The only table that they're both reading from is item, but again, they're just reading from, so it's fine to execute those in parallel. On the other hand, the first and third transactions have a read-write conflict on the table named order line. So the mixer will not allow these two transactions to be executed in parallel. Coming to the second goal, we need to have an efficient way of detecting whether replicas have diverged. That means that we need to have an efficient way to compare the application state and responses. Conceptually, this is quite easy to achieve efficiently. We'll organize the application state in a Merkle tree, which is a hierarchical hash computation, and we'll use the root of the tree as this token that we'll send to verification, since it is effectively a hash of the whole state. The good thing about using a Merkle tree is that when a request modifies an object, we don't need to recompute the hash of all the state. Instead, we just need to recompute that path from that object up to the root of the tree. Now, while this is conceptually simple, multi-threaded execution complicates things. Specifically, since requests have been executed in parallel, different replicas could add objects to the tree in different orders, causing their tokens to diverge. To make sure that replicas generate identical tokens, we need to make sure that the trees are grown in the same way. The observation that we leverage here is that we don't actually need to add objects to the tree until it is time to generate this token. So what we can do is postpone adding the objects to the tree until the end of the batch, where we have to generate a token. Now, at the end of the batch, we now have a set of newly created objects, and we need to make sure that all replicas add them to the tree in the same order. We leverage two facts to make that happen. First of all, remember that I told you that requests within a batch are ordered. We'll use this order to extract a unique ID for each request. Also note that each request has been executed by a single thread, so we'll assign a sequence number to all the objects that this request creates. The combination of this request ID and this object sequence number give us now a unique and sortable pair that we can use to make sure that all replicas add objects to the tree in the same order. As an optimization to avoid the overhead of assigning sequence numbers to all created objects, we will leverage the fact that most of the time, existing objects on the tree have a deterministic list of references to the newly created objects. When that happens, we can just scan the tree and whenever we find a reference to a newly created object, we can add it to the tree. So coming to the third goal, we need to be able to efficiently repair a divergence when it happens. This goal turns out to be fairly simple to implement efficiently. We'll organize the application state using copy and write. So when an object is modified, we'll keep both the original and the modified version of the object around, and if a rollback is requested, we need simply discard the modified version of the object and reinstate the previous version. Note that using copy and write allows us to avoid the overhead of loading entire state snapshots used by previous systems, but instead we can implement fine-grained and efficient rollback of the application state. So using these three techniques allows us to first be able to make sure that replicas diverge infrequently, Second, we have an efficient way of detecting whether replicas have diverged. And third, when replicas actually diverge, we have an efficient way of repairing it. Now let me take a step back from the implementation mechanism and consider what it is that this architecture really achieves. At a high level, Eve combines the dependability of state-machine replication with the performance of multithreading. Digging a little deeper, the way this is actually achieved is by bringing together for the first time the ability to execute requests independently at all replicas, which is a key requirement for tolerating arbitrary faults, while at the same time executing requests in a non-deterministic order, which enables multithreaded execution. The combination of these two properties is what allows the replication of multithreaded services. As a bonus, this combination also allows Eve to offer some protection against concurrency bugs, which, as the previous speaker mentioned, is both interesting and hard. Let me give you an example. Let's say that we have a set of replicas executing some requests in parallel, and say that the third replica, due to some data race, increments a counter twice instead of once. This will cause its state to diverge, and its token, of course, will be different than other replicas, but to Eve, this looks just like any other divergence. And go ahead, it will detect it and repair it by asking the replicas to roll back the state and re-execute sequentially, thereby masking the concurrency bug. We actually use this technique to detect a previously undiagnosed bug in the H2 server database code. Note also that Eve can be configured so that even if the bug manifests in a majority of replicas, it will be able to detect it. In fact, as long as the bug does not manifest in the same way in all replicas, Eve will mask it. Before I present our evaluation, let me say that this execute-verify notion represents an architectural change for replication protocols. As such, it is applicable to both synchronous and asynchronous systems, and to systems that tolerate from crash failures all the way to arbitrary failures. To demonstrate that, we implemented Eve in two configurations that represent extreme points in this design space. The first is an asynchronous Byzantine fault-tolerant configuration that in this instance has 3 execution and 4 verification replicas, thereby tolerating 1 arbitrary fault in both execution and verification. The second is a synchronous primary backup configuration that uses just 2 replicas, both used as execution and verification at the same time. Note here that while traditional instantiations of primary backup tolerate a single omission failure, Eve's primary backup configuration retains this ability of tolerating a subset of commission failures, for example, concurrency bugs, of course, as long as the failure does not manifest in the same way in both replicas. Coming to the evaluation of Eve, there's 2 questions that we'd like to answer. First of all, what's the performance benefit of Eve compared to traditional systems? And second, how does the quality of the mixer, namely our ability to identify commutative requests, affect the performance of Eve? A few words about our experimental setup. We deployed Eve in an MLab testbed where our execution replicas have 16 cores, and we'll use 2 applications for our evaluation. One is an H2 database engine that we'll use in conjunction with the TPCW benchmark, and the second is a simple key-value store application that we implemented for our micro-benchmarks. So coming to the first question, how faster is Eve than traditional approaches? To answer this, we use the H2 database engine as our application, and our workload is the browsing workload of the TPCW benchmark. Here on the x-axis, we increase the number of threads from 1 to 16, and on the y-axis, we plot the throughput of the system. The flat line that you see on the bottom represents traditional SMR systems, which of course, since they employ sequential execution, cannot benefit from the presence of additional execution threads. The line on the top represents an unreplicated database server that uses multithreaded execution. Notice that an unreplicated multithreaded server represents the upper bound of what any replicated system can achieve. In the middle, we have the 2 configurations of Eve, the primary backup and the BFT configuration. Both configurations achieve similar performance, which is about 6.5 times faster than the traditional state-machine replication performance. This performance is also about 15% slower than the unreplicated server. This slowdown is due to 2 factors. First of all, replication itself has some overhead. Second, the main factor here is the hash computations performed by the Merkle tree in order to detect diverging replicas. Coming to the second question, we want to see how a good or a bad mixer affects the performance of Eve. To answer this, we'll use a simple application that stores a number of key value pairs, and each request will be modifying one of these pairs at random. The number of key value pairs in the system will determine the available parallelism in the workload. With respect to the mixer quality, there's two ways in which a mixer can be less than ideal. First of all, it can introduce false conflicts. That means that two non-conflicting requests are actually classified as conflicting, thereby reducing the available parallelism in the workload. On the other hand, we have undetected conflicts. That means that two conflicting requests are classified as non-conflicting, so the mixer will allow these two conflicting requests to execute in parallel, which could lead to replica divergence. Let's see first the impact of false conflicts. Here on the x-axis, we vary the false conflict ratio, which is the probability that two non-conflicting requests will be classified as conflicting. And the y-axis, we plot the throughput of the system. There's two configurations for the key value store, one with 10,000 key value pairs and a lot of available parallelism, and another one with just 10 key value pairs and significantly reduced parallelism. For reference, we also plot the flat line corresponding to sequential execution. Note here that as the false conflict ratio increases, both configurations will gradually degrade their performance since there is reduced parallelism. Basically, less and less requests are allowed by the mixer to execute in parallel, so we'll have less performance, of course. To the extreme where, of course, at 100% false conflicts, the mixer does not allow any request to execute in parallel, and both systems degenerate to something akin to sequential execution. On the other hand, we have undetected conflicts. Here, at the x-axis, we plot the undetected conflict ratio, which is the probability that two conflicting requests are classified as non-conflicting and are allowed to execute in parallel. On the y-axis, we plot again the throughput of the system. Note that when there is enough available parallelism, even an inaccurate mixer can only have a minor impact on performance. On the other hand, if an inaccurate mixer is combined with frequently conflicting requests, this could lead to a more severe impact on performance. In practice, we're not particularly worried by this. Our experience with real workloads is that a relatively accurate mixer is quite easy to implement. For example, coming back to the TIPCW benchmark, throughout all our experiments, we did not observe any rollbacks. This means that our mixer was effective in identifying conflicting requests. On the other hand, if speedup suggests that our mixer was aggressive enough to identify and leverage most, if not all, of the available parallelism in the workload. In conclusion, the lesson of Eve is that replication and multithreading are not mutually exclusive. We can leverage both the dependability of replication and the performance of multithreading, but in order to do that, we'll need to rethink the way we're designing replication systems and move away from the current agree-execute architecture to a new execute-verify architecture, where agreement is not performed on the order of requests, but rather on the outcome of the execution. Thank you.
Yang Tang from Columbia. So this is a very interesting work. I have a question. How often do you verify the states?
The state is verified after a batch of requests are executed, which the batch size is not statically defined, but you could think of it roughly every 50 or 80 requests.
So what if the requests take a long time to compute?
So if the requests take a long time to compute, I mean, you cannot do anything anyway, right? You just actually, if the requests take a long time to compute, then the overhead of Eve is much less pronounced.
I mean, the state may diverge in the middle of computing the requests. So if you can detect the diverge in the middle earlier, then you can roll back earlier and maybe the performance would be better.
That's a very good point. We don't actually, at this point, we're verifying the states of the replicas at the end of the batch. We have not actually seen this as a very important problem. If you had requests that would take, you know, a day to compute, then this might become a more pronounced problem.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Mark Cherini, Harvard. So, do you have a sense of what costs more undetected conflicts or versus
false conflicts?
Yes.
I mean, I think there's no contest here. Undetected conflicts means that you have two conflicting requests and you allow them to execute in parallel, which could mean that replicas can diverge. This means that you have to roll back and re-execute requests sequentially, which is the main overhead. You could see this is the dark side of Eve.
Right, so it's more expensive.
It's more expensive when you actually fall into that case.
So could you sort of reduce the dependence on the on I keep forgetting the first
conflicts.
First conflicts, right. Could you reduce sort of do that sort of more lazily and do a better job with missed conflicts?
There's always a trade-off here.
Yeah.
As a system designer, you have a trade-off basically into how aggressive you want to make your mixer, right? If you make your mixer more conservative, then you're more unlikely to run into undetected conflicts, but you will reducing your throughput through more false conflicts, basically, right?
Right, but so if you do that, you might be able to achieve a better balance because you said that there's so much overhead for missed conflicts.
Right, and there's also the point of doing it dynamically. At this point, we have a static mixer to do that.
Thanks. Robert Escriva, Cornell University. So linearizability is composable, and many applications don't need to touch all the state for every operation. In your key value store example, you can make each key be its own state machine, and therefore you wouldn't need to replicate and speculative or execute all of the operations across the whole key value store under this. You could just issue each key operation, and it only has to be made sequentially across keys. So almost all objects I can think of replicating have this property that you don't have to touch everything. Why is it better to push everything through one sequencer and then execute and then verify later, rather than break it up into multiple state machines that each can execute concurrently? That gives you the same parallelism you're looking for, but you don't have to actually execute and then verify. You have no problem with divergence, and it's easier reasoning about the correctness of the system as a whole.
Right. So what you're talking about is partitioning the service into partitioning the state into n partitions, let's say. And this parallelism is exactly the kind of parallelism that Eve tries to leverage here. The difference is that when you have a static partitioning, then within each partition you actually have to be pessimistic. The Eve, as an opportunistic approach, allows you to leverage the parallelism wherever you find it, basically. So the only time will you actually serialize the requests if you actually think that they have a conflict.
Okay.
Yeah, Hein Meling, University of Stavanger, Norway. I have a question about the measurements you showed. Do they, in the SMR baseline, do you use batching of any sort?
So in the, can you repeat that?
In the measurements you showed, do you use the baseline? Is that batched?
Oh, yes, it is batched. You mean the baseline of the SMR? Yes, yeah. Sure. It is batched.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi, Robert Fenronesi, Cornell University. First of all, very nice presentation.
Thank you.
I was wondering, you mentioned primary backup, and it seems to me that that would be a good alternative to what you presented. The primary could be multi-threaded, and that way you could combine multi-threading and replication and get something that works. It wouldn't be able to mask concurrency bugs, but otherwise seems like it would be a much cheaper alternative. Could you give some kind of idea of what the advantages and disadvantages are modulo concurrency bugs?
Right. First of all, your observation that you will not be able to tolerate concurrency bugs, and of course that extends to all commission failures, of course, right? So let me actually give you, in our paper we have a comparison with the Remus primary backup system. The main difference here is that Remus, the traditional primary backup approach is that the primary will execute the request and it will send the state updates to the backup. You can see here that Eve's approach only needs to send, for example, the requests to the backup. And you said that it might be a cheaper thing. We actually think that Eve is much cheaper in this case. In this graph, on the x-axis we have the throughput, and on the y-axis we have the bandwidth used. And lower and to the right is better. And you can see that Eve achieves something like four times the throughput of Remus, and with using something about two orders of magnitude less network bandwidth because it doesn't have to send these costly state updates through the network.
Understand. Thank you.
Hi, very nice talk. I'm Wojtek Golab from the University of Waterloo. I'm just curious if you've had a chance to compare this against generalized Paxos?
We have not had this chance, but we could do it in the future.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.